AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. This is the place to be if you're ready for the best podcasts of the paranormal. Curious and sometimes unexplained. Now listen to this.
Welcome to our podcast. Please be aware the thoughts and opinions expressed by the host are their thoughts and opinions only and do not reflect those of iHeartMedia, iHeartRadio, Coast to Coast AM, employees of Premier Networks, or their sponsors and associates. We would like to encourage you to do your own research and discover the subject matter for yourself. Hi, I'm Sandra Champlain. For over 25 years, I've been on a journey to prove the existence of life after death. On each episode, we'll discuss the reasons we now know that our loved ones have survived physical death, and so will we. Welcome to Shades of the Afterlife. I love stories of near-death experiences, and I have a sneaky suspicion you do too. I want to read to you a few short stories that are real. This happened to a 5-year-old blind girl. She says, "I slowly breathed in the water and became unconscious. A beautiful lady dressed in bright white light pulled me out. The lady looked into my eyes and asked me what I wanted. I was unable to think of anything until it occurred to me to travel around the lake. As I did, I saw detail that I would have never seen in my real life. I could go anywhere, even to the tops of the trees, simply by intending to go there. I was legally blind. For the first time, I was able to see leaves on trees, birds' feathers, birds' eyes, details on the telephone poles, and what was in people's backyards. I was seeing for the very first time." Here's another story. "During my surgery, I felt myself lift from my body and go above the operating table. The doctor told me later they had kept my heart open and stopped for a very long time, and they had a great amount of difficulty getting my heart started again. That must have been when I left my body, because I could see doctors nervously trying to get my heart going. It was so strange to be detached from my physical body. I was curious about what they were doing, but not really concerned. Then, as I drifted farther away, I saw my father at the head of the table. He looked up at me, which did give me a surprise, because he had been dead for almost a year." Another story. "I approached the boundary No explanation was necessary for me to understand at the age of 10 that once I crossed the boundary, I could never come back. I was more than thrilled to cross. I intended to cross, but my ancestors over another boundary caught my attention. They were talking to me in telepathy, which really caught my attention. I was born profoundly deaf and now had all hearing that my family members did, all of which knew sign language when I was alive. Now I could read or communicate with about 20 ancestors of mine and others through telepathic methods. It overwhelmed me. I could not believe how many people I could talk to simultaneously. One more. I almost died back in June of 2020. I was hit by a car while riding my motorcycle. I blacked out, was hospitalized for a month and a half, and my leg even got amputated. I don't know if the accident itself did this to me, or the pain and trauma did, or the place that I went to when I blacked out. But I swear I've gotten so much smarter and more in tune with everything. I am hyper detail oriented. I have crazy motivational drive. And I also feel like I can just understand things others can't. I see the world so differently now. I can sense people's energies. And it helps me understand what people are going through. There definitely is a change to me after my near-death experience. We love hearing about near-death experiences and can be inspired by these stories and reunions, and they help us know that we go on after death. There is a term called after effects of a near-death experience that people have, and often we can share these effects by hearing stories. After effects include such things like a reduced fear of death, increased belief in life after death, interest in the meaning of life, acceptance of others, and becoming more loving and empathic. The majority of people make their lives about helping others through life. Some after effects happen immediately. Others may take years to fully manifest. Dr. Pim Van Lommel did a large study and divided survivors of cardiac arrest into a group that had near-death experiences and a group that did not. The after effects of both groups were assessed 2 and 8 years after their cardiac arrests. The group of survivors with near-death experiences were statistically much more likely to have a reduced fear of death, increased belief in the afterlife, interest in the meaning of life, acceptance of others, and were much more loving, where there didn't seem to be much change in the values of those who didn't. It is remarkable that near-death experiences often occur during only minutes or seconds of unconsciousness, yet commonly result in lifelong transformations of beliefs and values. 99% of near-death experiencers said that their experience was real. But can a near-death experience unlock any extraordinary abilities in a person? Today on our show, I am so happy to share a special story of a physician who was struck by lightning only to receive a passion for music. I can't wait for you to hear it. Also, two of my personal favorite stories are of Dr. Rajiv Partee and Anita Morjani. Anita Morjani, author of the book Dying to Be Me, which I highly recommend, had cancer that had spread throughout her body. And doctors said it was too late to save her. All of Anita's organs had shut down, and she entered into a coma. She witnessed so much in her near-death experience, including being encouraged to return to life by her deceased father and her best friend, who told her that she needed to return and live her life fearlessly. When she came out of this coma, her tumors shrank by about 70% within 4 days, and within 5 weeks, she was cancer-free and was released from the hospital. Now, she did have to spend a few months in physiotherapy to regain her strength and to use all of her muscles and limbs again. But today, in 2024, Anita Morjani remains cancer-free and makes her life about helping other people and sharing the reality of the afterlife. Dr. Rajiv Partee was chief of anesthesiology at Heart Hospital in Bakersfield, California. He loved his wealth and the prestige that his job gave him. He lived in a mansion, had several luxury cars, and was able to purchase anything he wanted. In August of 2008, everything changed in his life when he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. Due to an infection, he was admitted into the hospital where he had his near-death experience. Although deep from anesthesia, he was aware that his consciousness had somehow left his body. From a vantage point near the ceiling, he could see the surgeon cut him open and all of the operating room personnel cover their faces from the odor that his infected abdomen seeped throughout the room. He said his senses became so acute that he could hear, see, and smell things inside and outside of the operating room. He even heard the anesthesiologist tell a dirty joke that made the doctor blush when he later repeated what he heard in the operating room. His spirit left the operating room, and although still in the United States, he drifted into India, where he could hear his mother and sister talking about what they were preparing for dinner that night. Fear ended up finding its way into his experience. He had the feeling of being pulled into darkness, filled with screams and sounds of fighting. Eventually, he saw a white light in the distance and instinctively began praying. The white light turned to a light of love, and he was shown his life that he was not practicing forgiveness or compassion to himself or others. He soon felt very sorry for the lack of kindness in his behavior, wishing he could have done certain things differently in his life. His book, Dying to Wake Up, tells the story of him being an anesthesiologist, making people fall asleep before surgery, and now, after the near-death experience, waking them up as to who they are and what their life is for. There's much more to his story, of course, but he shares what he calls the near-death manifesto. 1, consciousness can exist outside the body. 2, there is life after death. 3, our experiences in life shape our current reality. 4, we are all connected to each other because we are all made of the one and same energy that manifests as differentiated matter. 5, divine beings exist and help and guide us. 6, there are different levels of consciousness. And 7, there is one all-pervading supreme love and intelligence that is the source of the entire universe. And that love is the supreme source of creation. In their latest book, Proof of Life After Life, 7 Reasons to Believe There Is an Afterlife, Dr. Raymond Moody and Paul Perry share this. There are many stories of near-death experiences leading to the life-changing acquisition of new talents, the changing of professions, or the overcoming of something like crippling anxiety. Why these spontaneous improvements take place is not known. Some have speculated that the brain changes due to neuroplasticity, the reorganization of the brain's neuronal connections that sometimes takes place after a stroke or the brain trauma of an accident. Neuroplasticity proves to us that the brain is capable of reorganizing or rerouting its neurons to compensate for traumatic damage. Yet for neural reorganization to be the cause of these spontaneous improvements is most likely impossible. After all, successfully rewiring the brain after neurological damage can take substantial rehab, and then effects of original damage most often still remain. There is clearly, to me and a growing number of researchers, something more happening here. It's time for our break, and when we come back, we are going to hear the incredible story of Tony Sicoria and his after effects of being struck by lightning. We'll be right back. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Keep it here on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Sandra Champlain will be right back.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How's it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? It's easy for people to ignore their social batteries and spread themselves thin, especially at this time of year, when gatherings are picking up again after the winter. But it's important to find the right amount of socializing for you and still give yourself the time to recharge. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And when you're feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to take care of yourself and recharge. Because a full battery is the key to a full life. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/shades today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/shades.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
We are happy to announce that our Coast to Coast AM official YouTube channel has now reached over 300,000 subscribers. You can listen to the first hour of recent and past shows for free. So head on over to the coasttocoastam.com website and hit the YouTube icon at the top of the page. This is free show audio, so don't wait. coasttocoastam.com is where you want to be.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, it's Dr. Sky. Keep it right here on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and I'm really excited I get to share this next story with you. Dr. Tony Sicoria is a well-known orthopedic surgeon. Very busy man, no particular interest in the afterlife, when he was struck by lightning in 1994. The bolt was enough to kill him, but it didn't. What it did do is leave him with a sudden craving for classical music, in particular, the piano. Dr. Tony is regular, down to earth, and I know you'll enjoy his story just as much as I do.
My wife normally would have a big party every August, and this particular August in 1994 was going to be at a place called Sleepy Hollow Lake in upstate New York, about 25 people, lots of kids running around, and my wife had rented a pavilion, and I was elected the cook. And that's the way the day started. As I was out working the barbecue, I thought, I hadn't checked on my mom because she was not there. I thought I better go call her. So I got somebody to cover the barbecue, and I walked around the front of the building, and there was a payphone attached to it. And I picked up the phone and I dialed her number and let it ring 4, 5, 6 times. And she never picked up. So I thought, I'll try again later. And as I took the phone away from my face, I heard a huge crack. And I saw this big flash of light come out of the phone and hit me in the face. I knew exactly what it was, a lightning strike. What I hadn't realized, because I was paying attention to the grill, was that a storm cloud had brewed up over the lake that we were next to, and I hadn't been paying attention. I see the big flash of light come out of the phone, hits me in the face, and throws me back like a rag doll. It really threw me backwards. And that's when things really got interesting, because as I was being thrown backwards, all of a sudden I had this very strange sensation of moving forwards. I remember standing there thinking, how is this possible? I know I got hit. I saw it. Knew I'd been thrown back like a rag doll. And here I am standing and I'm looking around. I look at the phone and the phone is just dangling. Nothing's making any sense. At that point, I hear my mother-in-law screaming and I'm down at the bottom of the stairs and everybody else is up on the first floor. All of a sudden, she's running down the stairs right at me. And I'm thinking, it's not good when your mother-in-law is screaming and running at you. As she got down in front of me, I could tell that she couldn't see me because she was looking off to her left. As she got to the bottom of the stairs, it was like I wasn't even there. And she just took off to the left. And I thought, what the hell is going on? And so I started to follow her. And I took a few steps following her, and all of a sudden, I'm confronted with myself on the ground. I remember looking down and going, oh, shit, I'm dead. It was a shock. I guess all of my life, I thought that when you died, there would be some sort of notification. Who knows what it was, but I didn't expect to have it not even be known. I thought there'd be some bells or whistles that would go off, but it was absolutely nothing. So I'm standing there and I'm looking at myself on the ground. As this is happening, my mind is racing like crazy and I'm trying to make sense of this. And all of a sudden, I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, I'm thinking just like I normally would. I'm obviously not in that body that's on the ground. I'm standing out here. I can hear everybody. I can see everybody. But nobody can see or hear me. And I'm trying to get their attention and nothing seemed to work. And then I saw this lady who actually was waiting to use the phone behind me. She started to get down to do CPR. Turns out she was a nurse from one of the local hospitals. And how fortuitous is that? Get struck by lightning, they have somebody waiting to save you from going to the other side. So she got down and she starts doing what she's supposed to do. And at this point, I'm thinking, nobody can see me. Nobody can hear me. I'm feeling stupid. And I thought, I'm going to go check on my family because they were upstairs. My wife and my three kids are up there. And I thought, I'm going to go up the stairs and see what's going on. So I walk over to the stairs and I start to go up and I get to about the third stair. And I'm looking down at the stairs because I always afraid I'm going to fall face forward on the stairs. So I always watch what I'm doing. As I'm looking down, I notice that my legs are starting to dissolve. And I thought, whoa, this is getting really intense. And I just kept going up the stairs. By the time I got to the top of the stairs, I had lost all form. I was just a ball of energy. The stairs go off to the left. And I said, what the hell? I'm not going to go up the stairs. I just went through the wall. And when I got to the other side of the wall, I came out right over the top of where my wife was sitting, and she's painting children's faces. And I made a mental note of where the kids were, who was standing where, who the kids were, and what pattern they were standing in. I don't know why I did that, but I did. Later on, I verified that was exactly the way they were standing. When I got to the other side of the room, it was going on a diagonal, and I went through the roof, and suddenly I'm outside. And that's when things really got crazy interesting, because it was like I had fallen into a river of pure positive energy. There wasn't anything in this river of energy except absolute love and absolute peace. It was this bluish white light, and it had a sparkly appearance to it. And it made me think of when I was a kid and I'd be swimming in a crystal clear stream and I'd see the sun shining through the water as I was underneath the water. It reminded me of that. As I was looking at this light energy, I could tell what it felt like. And as I looked around, I started to see that whatever this energy was, it actually made up everything. I could look at the trees and see the energy flowing into the trees, and everything was made up of whatever this energy was. And I thought to myself, I'm thinking, this is the God energy. This is what everything is made of. It's so powerful. I could measure this. And so my science brain is kicking in going, we could look at this. But the more I looked at it, I could actually see the energy pattern, and it had a sine wave pattern, and I could see it flowing, and it went through everything. And at this point, I could tell that I was moving someplace. I had no idea where I was going. I could feel speed and direction. So I was accelerating into something, but I had no idea what. At this point, I've become absolutely euphoric over the fact that this is the greatest thing that could ever happen to somebody. I had a short period where I saw high points and low points in my life, almost like a collage of pictures, just showed me pictures and this and that. And there wasn't a lot of emotion around it. It was just, these are things that happened in your life that were of some significance. And there was no explanation other than the fact that they just passed on. So I settled down and I'm floating in this river of pure positive energy. And I'm thinking, again, this is the greatest thing that could ever happen to somebody. And I was just excited about where it was going. And then all of a sudden, it was like somebody flipped a switch. I was back in my body and I was pissed. I was like, no, don't make me go back. You can't do this to me. I quickly realized it's not up to me. I'm laying there on the ground, and in the place where it hit me in the face and came out my foot, it felt like somebody had taken hot pokers and stuck them in both of those places. But I'm still unconscious. And the lady who was next to me had stopped CPR. She's just kneeling next to me, but I still can't open my eyes or look at anybody. So it took several minutes before I had enough mental function to be able to open my eyes and say anything. And at that point, I just embarrassed myself because the first thing I said to this lady who's kneeling next to me and saved my life, I said, it's okay, I'm a doctor. And she just kind of laughed and she said, well, you weren't a minute ago. And I thought, okay, I'm just making a fool of myself. So I'm going to shut up, which I did. And of course, the police and the ambulance came and I said, no, I'm not going. When you get struck by lightning, you're either alive or dead. There's not much in between. At that point, I talked to my family and I said, take me home. Let me see my cardiologist, my neurologist, and let me just get out of this. So they took me home and I saw my doctors and everybody said the same thing. You're lucky to be here. I was like, okay. But I was tormented by what did it mean? When I started to think about it, and everything in life is a series of probabilities, I started thinking about what's the probability of a bolt of lightning, several million volts worth, striking a building, losing enough of its current by the time it gets to you that it doesn't turn you into a French fry. It just stops your heart. And what's the probability of having a nurse standing behind you so that just in case you got a little too much, somebody was going to be there to jumpstart your heart again? When I started looking at all this stuff, I'm thinking there's nothing random about this. As Einstein used to say, God does not throw dice. And that's true. I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason, but I was given no reasons. I had no idea. And I was haunted by the fact that this thing had happened, and I had no idea why and what it meant or what I was supposed to take from it. And then shortly after that, it was about 2 weeks after the event, after the lightning, it took me about a week to get the circuits running again properly. That first week, I could look right at you and say, I know who you are. I'll be damned if I can find your name. It's locked in a box someplace up there, and I can't get to it. And there were a lot of things like that. I knew that I knew something, but I couldn't get to where that file was. After a week, that disappeared. It seemed like everything was back to normal. But about another week or two after that, I started having this really incredible desire to hear classical piano music.
This is a good time to take our break because he has a lot more to say about what happens. This is the after effect of a near-death experience of orthopedic surgeon Tony Sicoria. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Shades of the Afterlife coming right up.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
The best afterlife information you can get while you're alive.
Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, this is ufologist Kevin Randall, and you're listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and you're listening to the near-death experience of Dr. Tony Sicoria. We last left him recovering from being struck by a bolt of lightning. Let's see where the story continues.
Another week or two after that, I started having this really incredible desire to hear classical piano music, which was a really strange thing for me because I was a kid in the 60s. There was rock and roll, and there wasn't much of anything else. But all of a sudden, I can't do anything without thinking about this absolute desire to hear this. It was so strong that I drove an hour to Albany, which was the nearest big city that would have classical piano music on CDs. I went into this music store, and as I walked in, it seemed like there was a CD that just jumped off the shelf into my hands. And it was Vladimir Ashkenazy playing his favorite Chopin. At this point, I didn't know what to do with all of it. I was so taken by this music, and I started listening to the CD, and I listened to it nonstop and made everybody else listen to it. I'm sure they were sick of hearing it. I just couldn't stop. It was just a compulsion that had made no sense to me. But within a very short period of time of listening to this music, I realized that it's not going to be enough to listen to this music, I need to know how to play it, which was a big problem since I didn't have a piano and I didn't know how to play. The very next day, one of our babysitters came to the house and said, I'm going to be moving and I have this old upright piano I need to store for a year. Could I store it at your house? And I'm thinking, okay, this is really getting weird now. So all of a sudden I have a piano she loads the piano in the house, and I'm thinking, now I need to learn how to play. So I went and bought a couple of books and how to try to teach yourself to play. And at the same time, I ordered all the sheet music from the CD, which is magical thinking. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. There are people who have been playing this stuff for 10 years and still wouldn't attempt to do that. But it didn't seem to matter. I was determined to learn how to do this. And so I started to try to teach myself. And within a few more weeks of that, I go into bed as normal, but all of a sudden I have this dream. And in this dream, it was like an out-of-body experience. I'm walking out onto the stage, and I'm walking toward myself. I'm way out on the front edge of the stage. I'm giving a concert at this concert hall. I'm listening to this music that I'm playing, and as I'm walking up behind myself, the thought comes to me that this is not somebody else's music. This is mine. And I thought, okay. So I start listening intently to it. I walked up behind myself, and I'm listening to what I'm playing, and I'm watching everything, and I'm looking at the concert hall, and the ending had this loud crashing ending. It woke me up. So I got up and I sat on the edge of the bed and I looked around, and it was 3:15 in the morning. I walked out to the piano and I thought, let me see if I can plunk some of this out that I just heard. I had no idea. I mean, I didn't know how to write music. I didn't know how to read music. I sat there and I could plunk out a few notes of what I heard, but I didn't even know how to write down what they were. So I said, the hell with this. And I went to bed. I woke up always at 5:30, 6 o'clock, because that was my time to get up and get ready for work. From that moment on, whenever I went near that piano, the music from the dream would start to play in my head. So whenever I sat down at the piano, it was like a tape recording. It would just start. If I didn't pay attention to it, it would become intrusive. It would actually start playing when I was trying to work or when I was trying to do something else. So I learned very quickly that it was kind of like a two-year-old. You really had to pay attention to it, or there was going to be some repercussions from it. So this process went on, and I continued trying to teach myself. And one day I'm banging away at the piano, and my daughter's best friend, Jackie, was over at the house, and her mom was coming by to pick her up, and she came in the house. She heard me on the piano, and she came in and said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm trying to learn this piece of music. It was called a Fantasy Impromptu, a piece of Chopin. And I said, I don't understand why the hands don't line up in this piece of music. Why would somebody write a piece of music where the hands don't line up? And she said, they're not supposed to. It's called a polyrhythm. I had never heard of that word before. Why would anyone do that? She said, I'm not even going to try to explain this to you. You need to get a teacher. So at that point, she gave me the name of Sandy McCain, who was the chairman of music at Hartwick College in Oneonta, New York, where we lived. I called up Sandy and told her this whole story and asked her if she'd take on an old guy to try to teach him some piano. She did, and we started working 2 hours a week. The only time we had in common was 5 o'clock, so 5 o'clock was our piano time, 5 o'clock in the morning. And I'm sure that her family was not real happy with me, but that was the best we could do to meet the two schedules. So this went on for quite some time. As I'm learning to play, I'm also working on the music from this dream. As I learned how to do things, I would write down a measure or two and I'd stuff it in a drawer someplace thinking, someday I'll get back to all of this. I kept working on learning how to play. And I started going to a music camp, piano camp for adults in Bennington, Vermont, which was called a Sonata. And it's a group of people. They would meet 4, 5, 6 times a year, different people at different times. And it's all people that are absolutely obsessed with piano. And this is their week of indulging themselves. So I started going to that in 2002. In 2006, when I went, the owner's sister, Erica Vanderlyn Feiger, was the number one salesperson for Steinway in New York City. And she had just left Steinway and went to Bösendorfer. And she was there at the piano camp, and she brought five pianos in for people to play on, which was an absolute treat. We got talking about all of this stuff and the music from the dream and the things that I was working on. Afterwards, she said to me, there's only one person that can tell this story, and that's Oliver Sacks. At the time, I didn't know who Oliver Sacks was, other than the fact that he wrote the book Awakenings when he figured out how to treat Parkinson's disease. He is a famous neurologist. And I didn't think anything more of it. So I went about my normal business. In June, I get a phone call from Oliver Sacks. I'm like, this can't be real. Oliver says, I've heard about this lightning story, and I'd like to have you come down to New York City to interview you. I'd like you to be one of my patients. I have a collection of people like you who have had unusual things happen. And I said, sure, that would be great. So in August of that year, 2006, I went down to see Oliver Sacks, and I got to spend the whole day with him, which is an absolute treasure. This was a man who could think circles around anybody I knew, including myself. We spent the entire day together, which I will never forget. And at the end of the day, we're standing in the doorway and saying goodbye. And he looked at me, and he had this piercing way of looking at people. He looked at me and he says, the music from the dream went through an awful lot of trouble to get here. The least you can do is write it. I was so taken with what he said. I went right home, and it was about 3 hours to get back home. So I had plenty of time to think about it. But when I got home the next day, I went right out and bought a music writing program called Sibelius, which is the equivalent of music writing for dummies. If you have an electric piano, you can hook this thing up so that you can play something and the music actually appears on the screen. So that was the way I started, because by that point, I had gotten to where I could play some parts of the music from the dream, but I had no idea how to write it. I spent the next 7 months, every minute that I wasn't working, writing down this music. My goal was to get it written for my next May piano camp. That was my goal. So when piano camp came around in May, I had finished the music and played it for my piano friends at this piano camp. Everybody liked it. And I thought, okay, this is pretty cool. While I was there, I got a call from Oliver. He says, I wanted to ask your permission to use your story in my book. So I don't have anything to hide. Well, sure, go ahead. He said, good, because you're chapter one and it's coming out July 23rd. Sure enough, my story was published in the New Yorker magazine. At that point, all hell broke loose because I hadn't been telling a lot of people about this story, and because I didn't want people to think I was crazy. Suddenly, it got taken out of the closet and thrown out for everybody to look at. About a week after it came out, I got a call from a guy named Carlton Clay. Carlton was the head of the music department at State University of New York in Oneonta. He said, would you consider playing the music for the class? And I thought, I'll do that. It seemed like it was another month or so after that. Carlton calls again and he says, you won't believe it. I'm just getting hammered with people calling here and everybody wants more and more. He said, would you consider doing a concert at the Performing Arts Center? And I said, no, I don't have the faintest idea how to do something like that. I said, I'm not musically trained. I'm not prepared. I have no idea where to start. And somehow he conned me into doing it. I said, okay, I'll do it. So the next phone call I make is I call Sandy, my music teacher, and I said, can you get me ready for it? And she said, it's going to be a lot of work. She said, you got to be prepared to put 3 or 4 hours a day into getting ready for this. And I'm like, okay. We start on this process. We would go up and to the Performing Arts Center, and she would make me walk out on stage and make me walk off. She would make me talk to the crowd and then make me play the music. And I can still hear her. She'd be up in the top row of the seats, and I'd be playing away, and she'd go, I can't hear you. This is going to be no fun. But we worked along. And then a few weeks before the concert, Carlton calls me again, and he says, things are changing again. And I said, what are you doing? He says, the BBC One wants to come, and so does German television, and so does Granada Media.
I love this guy. We need to take a break, and then we'll be back. Plus, I have a surprise at the end. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Stay there. Sandra will be right back.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Hey, it's the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren. Don't forget to check out my show, Strange Things, each week as I bring you the world of the truly amazing and bizarre right here on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is afterlife expert Daniel Brakely, and you're listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain. Orthopedic surgeon Tony Sicoria gets hit by a bolt of lightning, has a near-death experience, and now an uncontrollable urge to learn and play piano. Next, he manages to write down the music from a dream. And next, they want him to play in a concert. Here's what happens.
A few weeks before the concert, Carlton calls me again, and he says, things are changing again. And I said, what are you doing? He says, the BBC One wants to come, and so does German television, and so does Granada Media. So there's three huge sets that want to come and film this thing. I was like, oh my God, I've come too far now. What am I going to do? I said, okay. Along comes the concert day, which actually turned out to be my birthday anyway. There's three television crews. I remember going to the green room right beforehand, and I remember sitting there, and I'm talking to God and the angels, anybody that wants to listen. And I said, you guys put me through a lot to get me here. I said, don't embarrass us both and leave me out there without a lot of help. Thankfully, I managed to get through it, the music from the dream and a couple of other pieces that I had written along the way. And ever since then, it's taken on a life of its own. I've played that music all over the country. It's interesting, the reactions that I get to it. People will come up afterwards and tell me about they see visions or they feel certain things. And I've even had some people ask if they could come and lay on the floor underneath the piano so they can feel the vibrations of it. Because there's something in the frequencies of the music that stimulates certain brain activity or certain behaviors. I think there's more to the music than I have any concept of. It's so far over my head. I do believe that there are healing frequencies, and there are frequencies that stimulate brain activity in people, and it's just based on the things that people say. I have been searching for an understanding of how all this fits together ever since it happened. And I literally read hundreds of books trying to understand. I think what it really comes down to is that we have no real concept of how the brain works and how it's connected to other things and other places and the frequencies that exist in the ether, the quantum field, as some people call it, and how all of it interacts. So is some of the aspect of this music about helping people to reprogram some part of their brain that they don't have access to or could help in their evolution. I don't know. Or like myself, you hear music and the music's coming from someplace. Where is it coming from and how does it make its way into my brain? And again, there's a lot of people that are starting to believe that this memory exists in the quantum field. And nobody really understands what that is exactly. And how we communicate with it is a whole other black box. The other thing that did come out of it was that I can feel people's energy, their aura, as other people would call it. It feels like static electricity, out of not having a better word to describe it. If somebody has something wrong with their shoulder, for example, if I happen to bring my hand near their shoulder, I'll feel this distortion of that electrical energy. And so if I move down the arm, it'll disappear. But as I get closer to where the problem is, I can actually bring somebody to tears with it. There are some things that I don't have a real understanding of, but I just noticed that they exist. And I use them as tools to help. If I'm trying to figure out what somebody's problem is, I can use that as a way to narrow the focus of what I'm looking at. I've had flashes of knowing things that I have no way of knowing. I'll have a feeling somebody's going to call and the phone rings, or I walk over and I pick up the phone and they're on it. There's no way to quantitate any of that. And there are enough people that have things like that happen anyway that you don't know whether it's meaningful or not. These are things that I didn't really notice before. So I'm absolutely certain that there is no such thing as death. We change forms, but our spirit lives on forever. Whoever we are, we always are. And that I'm absolutely certain of. I think that the only real message that I have is there is life after death. I think it's really important to have an approach to life that is other than self, being more concerned about others than about the self. I think it's a big part of how our spirits are supposed to work.
Thank you, Dr. Tony Sicoria. Now, did I hear you think, I wish I could hear that piece of music? You can. Here is Lightning Sonata with Dr. Sicoria at the piano. Pay attention to your emotions and see how it moves your soul. My friend, anything is possible if you believe. Please remember to come visit me at WeDon'tDie.com. I'm Sandra Champlain. Thank you for listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
And if you like this episode of Shades of the Afterlife, wait until you hear the next one. Thank you for listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit CheapoAir.com/podcast.